Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together." Boy, that'd be a good thing to get together. All of us that claim to be believers, if we could get together tonight, I believe we could see a lot of folks get saved. "And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us for just a little bit. Lord, you know what we stand in need of this evening. Lord, you know the hearts. You know the burdens that each one's carrying tonight. Lord, I pray that you just ever meet the needs of each and every one. Lord, that each one that's took time to come to the house of God this evening might get the encouragement, Lord, to go on through the rest of the week. Lord, the strength that we stand in need of. Help us now, and we'll give you glory and praise for all that you do and accomplish. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. You can be seated. We preached last week, last Wednesday night, on the marks of a growing church. And I mentioned, you know, I know we've preached about out of this chapter and the book of Acts many times, but it never gets old. And I thank God for the record of the coming of the Holy Spirit and how God empowered his people during this era of time. And that we know that they weren't without problems, even though the church was young. And let me just say this. I didn't mention this last week, but I believe that this is the starting of the church as we know it today. We know that it's the empowering of the church there in chapter 2 when it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And we believe that this is when the church was started. Now, a lot of people go back to the book of, to the Gospels when Jesus was here, and they say that Jesus was the pastor, that the disciples were the members of the church. They had a role, they had a treasury, and a lot of people say the church began at that point in error, but they were still under the law. They were, I think it's a perfect picture of the church, but I believe that the church started here on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended. Jesus had ascended back off the Mount of Olives, and the Holy Spirit had descended here 10 days later, and each believer was filled with the Spirit of God at that time. And we find here in verse 42 beginning, Peter's already preached that great message there in Acts chapter 2, and a great multitude of people, 3,000 I believe it was, got saved there on the day of Pentecost, when Peter, the one that had denied the Lord Jesus Christ, the difference was the filling of the Spirit, and the Lord had touched him, and Peter had gotten his heart right, and he stood up there, and the 11 stood with him, backed him up, and he preached a powerful message that day. We just have to say, yes, he did. He preached a powerful message. Anytime 3,000 people get saved, you can better believe that there's been some power in the message. And that's what it takes today, is power. But we see here's the beginning of the church and how God was blessing and how he was moving. We looked at several things, and I'm not going to re-preach this message, I promise you. I will not. I'm just going to go back over to get to the point where I need to be. But we looked at the marks of a growing church. And number one point that we preached from last Wednesday night, verses 42 through 47, they were marked by the right kinds of work. And I mentioned they were a practicing people, and they were marked by the truth that they embraced. The Bible said they were doctrinally sound, I believe, said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, or their teaching, and the truth. I'm glad the truth is still work this evening. And John chapter 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And we see not only they were marked by the truth, but by the tie. You say, what do you mean by the tie? By the fellowship that they had together. They had that tie that bound them through the Lord Jesus Christ, and as believers, and we see that verse 42 said that they continued in and steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And that's what we need today. And I believe when a church gets in one accord, they get together and they love one another, I believe there'll be the right kind of fellowship. I think when things is going good and the fellowship is what it should be, we get through with service, that's just part of it. We won't rush out the door madly all the time and trying to get in the car. You can tell when people is longing and desiring that fellowship. When church is over, they don't want to leave. They just want a fellowship. And I know we all have to go home and go to bed and get to work and all, but thank God for people that love the fellowship of other believers. And 1 John, someone said that the trademark of the church was love. 1 John 3, verse 14 said, "We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Not only we see they were marked by the truth, the tie, but by the table. Verse 42, in breaking of bread, the common ground found in the Lord's Supper. They were quick to remember God's blessings on their life and the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only they were marked by the table, by the Lord's Supper, but they were marked by the throne. Verse 42, and we mentioned a good bit about prayer. It said in verse 42, and they continued in the doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And I believe if we're going to see anything done around Open Door Baptist Church, we're going to have to do some praying. We're going to have to spend some time in prayer. We're going to have to find that secret place once again. We're going to have to get there and call on the Lord. And we have many examples of believers in times past that were great prayer warriors. I'm glad I've known some of those prayer warriors in my time. And I could call some names of some men of God that spend time in prayer. And it's a known fact that they spend hours in prayer. Sometimes a day, and you see that the Lord, if you look at their lives, look at the ministry, look at the souls that's been saved, you can tell that prayer worked. And ain't no churches going to be built if they ain't no prayers going up, I promise you that, because we can do all we can, but then it's the God that's going to have to give the increase. Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God that gives the increase." We do what we know to do. If we'll pray and we'll witness, we'll bathe that in the prayers, then I believe we'll see some fruit as we go through this walk of life. But we see not only that they were practicing people, but they were practical people. They were a single people. We know that we're all that are saved, we're all in a part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12 tells us that we've all been baptized by one Spirit, and we know that we're a single people. We're all made up into the body of Christ through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're responsible to look after the needs of that body and do what we can. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2 says, "Bear you one another's burden." Hey, somebody gets down, we ought to try to help them up if we can. Some people you can't help. They won't let you help them. But I tell you, we ought to do the best that we can to respond to them and try to encourage them to stay in the house of God and stay close to Jesus when they begin to get out of the will of God. But they were a single people. They were a sacrificial people. They freely gave to meet the needs of others in their Christian family. We find here said, "And all believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." Now, I don't believe the Lord's asking us to today, but He might ask us to sell all. He's just asking us to do our part, to give our tithes and give our offerings, that we might be a part of the work of God, to make it prosper and to do and meet the needs of the church and individuals sometimes. Sometimes someone gets in trouble in church and they need some financial help, and I believe that we ought to help our own. I don't think God meant for us to be a welfare service and give everything away, and I've never been that away, but I'm going to tell you, it's very few times that anybody come up and hit me up that I wouldn't give them at least a $10 bill or something. I just, God just give me a soft heart, and I'm a pushover sometimes, you know, for people with a sad story and knowing that they're probably just panhandlers and just looking for a handout. But There are times that the body of Christ, members hurt. They need help. They need lifting up. And that's one reason that we need to do what we can for one another. They were not only a single people, a sacrificial people, they were spiritual people. These weren't just Sunday morning Christians. I mean, they went to church 7 days a week here. And, you know, we come on Sunday morning. We come on Sunday night. We come on Wednesday night to get some Bible study, to get some encouragement. But these people went every day to church. I mean, they were meeting together, and they were excited about what was going on. They were spiritual people. Now, you can go to church and not be spiritual, I promise you. I've seen some people that go regular sometimes. They're not very spiritual. They're not very discerning. But anyway, that's another message for another time. But they were a spiritual people. A growing, living congregation is marked by people who are spiritual. I'm going to tell you, if you go where there's power of God and the Word of God is preached, and you can't get to that point and place where you're a spiritual person, you better check up and see what's wrong. And but these were spiritual people. They weren't only a single people and a sacrificial people. They were a spiritual people. Let's see, where did I get to here? They were a praising people. They were a praising people. They're not only practical and practicing, but they were a praising people. Verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And it's biblical to praise. There's a lot of scripture in the Bible, in the Old Testament, about praising God. I like this verse over. Let me see if I can find it. I think I can. I think it's 107. Psalms 107, I believe it is. Yes, Psalms 107 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." He said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And then you go down to verse 8. Listen to this. Four times in this chapter, he says, the psalmist says the same thing. He said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And then in verse 15, he said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 21 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And then verse 31, he says again, said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And if you flip right on over to the backside of the book of Psalms, you'll start, I believe, in verse 146. It says, starts out with, "Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul." It ends with, verse 10 says, "The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord." Verse chapter 147, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord." It ends with, "Praise thy God." And then it goes on down, "Praise ye the Lord," verse 20. And then verse chapter 148 says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord." And then it ends with, "Praise ye the Lord." Chapter 149 begins with, "Praise ye the Lord." It ends with, "Praise ye the Lord." Psalms 150 says, "Praise ye the Lord." And it ends, verse 6 says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." I won't never forget Brother Richard Sandlin. He said, that verse just simply means if you're breathing and you're not praising the Lord, said, drop dead. Said, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." So we see that they were also a praising people. So we see that they were marked by the right kind of works. And let me say number two this evening, and this is the second point. They're marked by the right kind of witness. They're marked by the right kind of witness. Verse 43 says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." So we know that when the apostles was here, they didn't have the complete canon of scriptures. I mean, they didn't have the whole Bible as we know. God was authenticating the message, the gospel message that they were preaching during this time of the early church here in the book of Acts. And it says that there was many wonders and signs. They had the witness that what they were preaching was the truth, and they had the witness that it was accomplishing what God wanted the word to do. People were seeing those signs and wonders. They were seeing the witness of the gospel message that was being preached. And we see that the community was very attentive to what was going on. You know, even in this day and hour that we're living in, the community ought to be attentive to what's going on in churches. I mean, the witness of the church is we preach the gospel, we preach the truth. I mean, they ought to look and see that something's going on. It's sad to say. And we looked at that early church there Sardis, I believe it was, the other night, that Jesus said they had a testimony. They were living, but they were dead. You know, and we see a lot of churches today that are dead around the country. But I'm going to tell you, we ought to have the witness that we're alive, that we're preaching Jesus, and that Jesus is doing something in this day and hour that we're living in. We see the power of God was real, and they took notice to what was going on in that early church. We see the community was attentive to the apostles and what God was doing, the many souls that was being saved. You go on over another chapter, and we see another a great multitude of people. I believe some 5,000 got saved. The Lord was adding to the church, and then He was multiplying to the church. And many people were getting saved during this time, and they were marked by the right kind of witness, and the community was very attentive to what was going on. We see not only they were attentive to what was going on, but we see the community was astounded. The Bible said there, said, and fear came upon every soul. You know, that's what we're lacking today is a healthy fear of God in this day and hour that we're living in. Fear was on the people around the church, and they were astonished at what was going on around the church and through the apostles and through the early Christians here. And they were astounded at what was taking place. I'm going to tell you, if God began to move again and we could, the power of God was exhibited in this day and hour that we're living in, we'd see people that would get astounded again. I believe we'd see the fear of God would grip people's souls. And we've lived in a time till I believe that the television industry, the movie industry, they've about zapped the fear of anybody in this day and hour that we're living in. All these video games and television movies, these horror movies and all this stuff, there ain't nobody got no fear about them much anymore. You used to preach on hell and people would get scared. I mean, the fear of God would grip their soul and they would take notice to what was going on. But today you can preach about hell and people will look at you like a calf looking at a new gate and they'll think you're crazy. But we see the community was astounded. Acts chapter 17, let's turn over and read Acts chapter 17, verses 5 and 9, 5 through 9. This was at Thessalonica, and the opposition of the Jews was against the church everywhere they went and preached. There was always opposition. Now everybody's got so churchy, till you don't have much opposition anymore. I mean, we don't have enough power in our churches across this land for anything no more. We got so carnal and we've got so programized till the preaching in most of the places that you see, it don't have much of an effect on people. But look here what happened. It said, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellers of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. What a testimony. What a testimony to have that they had turned the world upside down and said, they've come hither now and we're going to hinder them. We're going to oppose them. We're going to do all we can to keep anything from happening in this city. Said, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and the other, they let them go. But we see the community was astounded. There was fear when they come into preaching the gospel, and people began to believe. They began to turn from their idolatrous ways. They began to turn from their sin, and it began to affect even the Jews' religion. People began to turn from Judaism and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. These Jews got upset. And we see the community, when they preached, the power of God fell, and there was fear gripped people. There was fear here that they were going to take over their city. So we see the community was astounded. The community was affected. I believe our community should be affected by our churches today. Verse 47 said, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The first part of that said praising God and having favor with all the people. I believe if we got in touch and got a hold of God, we got filled with the Spirit, and we began to have the right kind of witness in this day and hour, I believe we'd see things happen. I believe we'd see people, the communities would get affected, and we'd see people that would start getting saved, and I believe that people around us would take notice to that. So we see they were marked by the right kind of witness. They were not only marked by the right kind of witness, let me say thirdly and lastly, they were marked by the right kind of wonders. It's verse 47, again, said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's a great day when God's people get involved in the work of the church, but business really starts picking up when the Lord gets personally involved in the work of the church. If we'd get obedient and we'd get where we need to be with God, I believe that we could see the Lord begin to move in our midst, and we begin to see things begin to happen when the Lord personally comes down and He begins to move in our congregation. That's why we want revival. We want God to move. I mean, we don't want to just go through a series, go through meetings and go through a series of meetings that we call revival. We want to real revival that'll bring refreshing, to bring us back to that normal place that God desires for us as individuals to be. But we see that it's marked by the right kind of wonders. The wonder of His blessing. Verse 43 said, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So we see the wonder of His blessing. He blessed them with His peace here in this early church. Even though there was persecution, there was problem. I mean, they had a real peace. They went out. They was reaching the community. And the Bible talks in Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3, says how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in peace. You know why we're not seeing nothing much in the day that we're living in? There's no peace in most of our churches. I mean, people are there's a power struggle in most places, and people can't get along. This one's jealous of this one. This one, they're jealous of that one. And there's no peace. Everybody's got their ideas about what should be going on. And we wonder sometimes, but we see that this early church, there was the wonder of His blessing. He blessed them with peace and unity. And I believe if we'd get to that point and place once again where there was unity in the church, we could all get in agreeance about what God wants us to do. He wants us to win people to Jesus. He wants us to tell them the gospel message that Jesus can change their life. There's a lot of people that are struggling today, and it's self-inflicted. They claim to be saved, and yet they go in their own way, and then when they get into trouble, I had a man telling me the other day, said that he'd been going through some dark times in his life. I've talked to him for a year or longer, and I told him, I said, you need to get in church. I said, you need to get, he said, well, I got hurt in church. Well, you know, I told him one day, I said, I get sick of tardy people saying they got hurt in church. If you'd get your stinking feelings off of your shoulder, you'd quit getting hurt in church. I mean, quit just looking for something personal from people instead of looking for something from Jesus that'll help you get through these dark times. I know we all had problems. He's had some problems and all. But I'm going to tell you, he should have stayed in church. He says he's saved. He's been born again. He should have stayed in church because I'm going to tell you, Jesus can help you through dark times in your life. He's the only one that can. He blessed them with his peace. Boy, there's nothing like the peace of God. That when you get saved, you remember that peace that come into your heart knowing that your sins were gone? That Jesus had forgiven you of every sin that you'd ever committed and every sin that you was ever going to commit? And you realize that and that peace that floods your soul? He blessed them with his peace. He blessed them with his power. I believe if we'd get obedient and do what God tells us to do, and we do what we know is right to do, I believe we can experience the power of God. When we begin to preach this Bible is the power of God. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish, but unto us which believe it is the power of God." The preaching of the cross, the preaching of the gospel, the good news that Jesus has died, was buried, and resurrected again the third day. There's power in that message tonight. When God's people gets right, they get peace in their heart, get peace one with another, we get in unity, then I believe we can experience the power of God. In 2016, we see a lot of motion sometimes, but we don't see much power of God. We don't see much conviction in our churches no more. And I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what it's going to take for sinners to get saved. It's going to take the power of God. It's going to take conviction. There's no one ever got saved that didn't get under conviction, and it's going to take the power of God to get people under conviction. We can do it ourselves, and what we've got on our hands is a lost church member most of the time. But I'm going to tell you, when the power of God moves in and Jesus begins to bless and he begins to move and he begins to work in our midst, then we'll see fear fall upon our congregation. We'll see fear fall upon people, lost people when they come in, and we'll see the power of God begin to work and people begin to get saved. He blessed them with his power. He blessed them with his presence. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Matthew 18 and 20. Let's see if this is what I'm looking for. He blessed them with his presence. We worry too much about the crowd sometimes. It's good to have a crowd, and I like to see a crowd. But look what Matthew chapter 18, verse 20 said. It said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." If we get to the place where we yield ourselves to the Lord and we get usable, then his presence will be evidenced in our church services. We'll leave different than when we come, when he's here. And his presence is evident. He blessed them not only with his peace, his power, and his presence, but he blessed them with his promise. He blessed them with his promise that he would be with them. I'm glad and thankful for all the promises. They tell me there's some over 3,000 promises in the Word of God, but I'm thankful for that promise of his presence with us. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. If we gather for the right reason, I promise you he'll bless us with his presence. We see the wonder of his building. There in verse 47, it said, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." You know, if we'd get to that point and place, we'd get right with God and we'd have the right motive, we'd have the right attitude, I believe we could find favor with people. You're going to run up on them that's just looking to be smart alecks and to sort of throw your track or brush you off and not want you to come to their house. A lot of people don't want you knocking on their door, don't want you inviting them to church. They don't want you saying anything. They don't want you to ask them if they saved or not. Some people tell you that's none of your business. That's a personal thing. Well, the Bible's told us to go out and witness to people, and we should ask them, have you ever been born again? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? But we see the wonder of His building. The Bible says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There again, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God that gives increase. Everybody you witness to ain't going to get saved. You might as well face that. Everyone, we ought to go with the attitude that, we're going to give them the gospel and then let the Holy Spirit lead us and direct us and let God work in their hearts, and we'll see people get saved from time to time. The reason we don't see nobody getting saved, we're not witnessing to people like we should. If we were witnessing on a regular basis and we was filled with the Holy Ghost, I believe that we'd see people get saved here and there all along. And I believe God still wants to. I believe God still wants to move in our midst in this day and hour we're living in. We see the marks of a growing church here. These three things that I gave you, they're marked by the right kind of works, they're marked by the right kind of witness, and they're marked by the right kind of wonders. I believe if we get where we need to be, we'll see God do some great things. He's still God. He's still in control. Just because everything looks bleak and gloomy and bad around, hey, God ain't said, Brother Willard, you say, God ain't sitting up in heaven on the throne about to have a Malox moment. He's not in there a bit excited. The Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He, as rivers, He turneth it whither He will and whichever way He wants it to go. And I'm glad He's in control of His church. He said, Thou art Peter, and upon I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm glad that He's given us a promise. His church is going to continue till God sends Jesus back to get us out of here. And it could be today. I hope we get marked by the right kind of works. I hope we have the marks of a growing church. And we'll pray and seek God. And I believe we'll see God do some things. He's still wanting to. Long as Jesus has not returned, He's going to continue to save people. Are we willing to be used of Him to be the witness and to win people to the Lord?